Hey, it's Monday night and time for VoiceOver Body Shop. And we got a great guest tonight, J.V. Martin, the voice of Shark Week, will be joining us here. And we'll talk about that. Any interesting stuff in tech that's going to come up?
I got new headphones.
Yeah, all right.
Headphones.
All that and more coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
Two men. Twin sons from different mothers with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now, VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to become a successful voice artist, VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success, the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters. And by VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voice actor website shouldn't be a pain in the butt.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. All righty. Welcome to the show. Well, as you can see, George is not here with us tonight. He is where you're in Boulder, Colorado once again.
I love it here. I love it here. I love Boulder, Colorado, especially since I'm here with my lovely girlfriend, Maxine Dunn, out here. And the weather's been fantastic. I was riding my bike today in shorts and t-shirts in Colorado. Ooh. It was beautiful.
Cool. Doing mountain biking up there, up in the Flatirons?
Not up the Flatirons. In view of the Flatirons.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. You know, biking's not my thing. But anyway, tonight on our show, this very show that you are watching right now, J.V. Martin's going to be our guest. We're going to talk about all the cool stuff that he does. You know, television production, but most known right now for the voice of Shark Week, which means he works 1 week every year. We'll talk about that.
All be so lucky.
But what a great gig. We'll talk about all sorts of cool stuff with him. We got a few tech things we want to cover. If you've got a tech question for us... That's us, right? Okay, right. If you got a tech question for us, all you have to do is, if you're in the chat room, and I can see there's lots of you in there, throw your tech question in there. If you're having a problem with your studio or something, that's why George and I are here. We're happy to talk about that stuff. Jack Daniel, our social media manager, mogul, maven, slave for the time being, will be relaying that information to us. So feel free to do that. And what else are we going to talk about? Well, we'll find something. But right now...
And now it's time for the VoiceOver Body Shop.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive VoiceOver industry news. Brought to you live.
All right, it's November 20th. Here is the VoiceOver Extra News, Thanksgiving gift. Here we go with the holidays, and we're thinking of all the wonderful things we'll experience in the days ahead. But also, the inevitable stress. So it's appropriate and appreciated in this week of Thanksgiving to hear from voiceover pro Christy Bowen about how to reduce the stress, and in fact, how to enhance our personal and business lives. In a new article on VoiceOver Extra, Christy says, give yourself the gift of gratitude. And from personal experience, she knows this works. She says starting each day by acknowledging the things that she's grateful for and giving thanks to them has changed her whole attitude in life and business. Christy says that learning what you're truly thankful for will help you be the best version of yourself, even in the toughest of times. For her personally, it leads to being authentic. And if you know her, you know what I mean. When I know authentically, what makes me happy, she explains, is when I know I'm at my best for myself and my clients. And this comes from being grateful for what you have in life. So Christy challenges you to this easy exercise to prove her point. For the remainder of this week, this is an assignment. Every morning, write down 6 things you're grateful for. Make that 3 personal things and 3 things in business. Simple as that. Then, after this week, see if your attitude hasn't changed, hopefully for the better. Thanks, Christy. We're thankful for you and this advice. And we wish everyone out in VOBS land a very happy Thanksgiving. P.S. Check out the details in Christy's article and hundreds more now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. All righty.
Boy, anything the lighting in here is so good. Positivity is good to me.
Yes, it's an interesting time of the year. See, I remember it was the Christmas music at our radio station would start right after Thanksgiving. Then it was right before Thanksgiving. Then it was right after Halloween.
Yes. That's the way things are going. And stress comes to a fever pitch around this time of year. And that's without what's going on in the rest of the world and on the news. So
yeah, I mean, so it's going to be a stressful couple of weeks here.
So just keep in mind what's important in your life and, you know, count your blessings. I have an app on my phone.
A count your blessings app?
Kinda. It's a gratitude app. And uh-huh. It reminds me every single day to post something that I am grateful for. It's called Gratus. Gratus.
Okay.
And I like it because it just it reminds me to say something I'm grateful for. And that's all it is. And it stores them and it will show you a different one every day just to remind you of what you've been grateful for in the past. So
yeah.
That's something that works. It's a little something that helps get me through these tough times, these crazy times we're in.
Yeah. Well, if the things have bottomed out, there's only one place to go. So
that's right.
Anyway, what's new in tech? Now you were talking, you got new headphones. Let's see what's going on with your headphones. Now, how many pairs of headphones do you have for starters?
I don't really know, actually. I'm going to guess somewhere between 15 and 20 headphones. Somewhere around there. But these my excuse for getting these headphones is I've had a pair of Bluetooth headphones that I've liked using for quite some time. I bring them on the plane, but they don't keep sound background noise out. And recently I've noticed an increase in tinnitus in my ears. And it might also be an inner ear issue that I'm dealing with that I'm going to have checked out tomorrow, actually, at the clinic. But nonetheless, I've had some ear issues, and I figure one of the issues is listening to my headphones too loud. If you're on an airplane and you're listening on headphones that don't seal out the background noise or cancel it out, chances are you're running your headphones too loud, and that could be damaging your hearing.
What?
So I justified my purchase by buying these headphones that are noise canceling. And the thing is, you guys have seen, you probably have or have seen people wearing those Bose noise canceling headphones on the plane. They're fine. They work well. They're the gold standard for noise canceling. The problem is they're Bose headphones, which basically means they don't sound accurate. They don't sound like a studio monitor. They sound kind of bass heavy, and they're just not good for studio use. So what's awesome about these, which these are the Sennheiser HD 4.50 BTNC. And there actually isn't a rhyme for the there actually is a reason for that model. Bluetooth BTNC for noise canceling, Bluetooth noise canceling headphones. And why I like these is because these can serve a couple of jobs. First of all, they're awesome Bluetooth headphones. They sound amazing because they use the aptX audio codec, which if you're using Bluetooth and you want to use it for anything serious or listening to, you know, quality audio, it has to have this. It's something part of, it's part of the Bluetooth 4.0 spec. So you want to look for that in Bluetooth. These have it. They're also noise canceling, which is really awesome on the plane. It just sends you to your happy place. And I love that about them. I mean, noise canceling is around for a long time, but these do it pretty nicely. I find them comfortable. The ear cups aren't that big. So some of you may find these encroaching on their ears too much and maybe a little too small. But if you have like a medium-sized or small-sized head or and or ears, these things fit beautifully. They really feel amazing. So that's important too. Very comfortable to wear. But the other thing is that they have a hardwired headphone cable as well. So you can plug this in, and now you can use these as regular old passive analog headphones for recordings, playback, whatever. So when you're traveling and you're doing recording on the road, you don't have to have your Bluetooth headphones for the working out or the noise canceling headphones for the airplane. And then the headphones you use when you're editing your voiceover, this is one pair of headphones that can really do all of that stuff because they sound very accurate and clean and they sound great.
Yep.
Bonus is you can, with them plugged in, you can turn the noise canceling on and off as well. So you can use them plugged in with noise canceling or without. I found that once you kicked on noise canceling, the volume in the headphones went up maybe 40, 30, 40%. They went up quite a lot. So they can get quite loud, actually, louder than you would possibly need. So anyway, if you're looking for something a little on the pricey side, but for Bluetooth, all those features and noise canceling, around $200 is actually a pretty good price. And for me, it was an impulse buy, but they may not go back. They may
drop them off on the way home. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the cans. Next thing I had to talk about real quick was
The Apogee mic.
The Apogee mic. Yes. Apogee put out a press release email and they said, we have a new mic. It's the Mic Plus. And obviously they were seeing everybody else releasing USB mics with headphone jacks that have zero latency monitoring. And they didn't want to be left out. So now they have it. So the new Mic Plus, it's the same as the other mics, but it's been physically redesigned a little bit. I don't know if Andrew managed to get a link to that or not, or a picture of it, but it's a new version of the same mic. It's very compact, still has that awesome sound quality, and zero latency monitoring in your headphones, which for folks that really have to be able to hear themselves is obviously pretty important. And that's nice. It also allows you to mute the microphone right from the front of the mic. So if you want to cough or swear, you can mute the microphone right on the front. So it looks like they've looked at what others were doing, like Blue, and deciding we want those features in our mic. And so they've added the same things into their product.
And there it is.
Yep.
At least that's the Apogee Mic Plus. You don't have the picture of the mic in there. Slide it over a little bit.
But the Apogee Mic Plus is a reasonably priced USB mic. I thought it was going to go up a lot in price to probably $300, but they're keeping it at $250.
Wow. It's original that's price.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty close to what the original one was when it came out. So I have to say I'm impressed with it. A lot of people have good luck with it. Other people find the Apogee mic difficult to use. It's just another condenser mic. You got to have the right technique to use it. It's easy to pop because it's so tiny, but it sounds great. And you'll let us go on this last thing. Just a little wrap-up from last week or a follow-up. Travis Baldtree, the guy that made the Adobe Audition punch and roll system, he made a web page on his website with all of the information about how to get it working and get it set up.
How to get it working, period.
Yes. He has troubleshooting steps, everything on the page. It's a Travis Baldtree, not Baldtree, but Baldtree, baldree.com/adobe-audition-punch-roll. So if you're looking for instructions on how to set it up, I did get it working on my Mac Mini with Adobe Audition 2017. And that's running Mac OS 10, I think it's 11.6. I think that's what I'm running. And I did get it working, and it's pretty sweet. So if you want to give it a check.
All righty. Well, J.V. Martin's our guest tonight. We're going to talk about all the cool stuff that he's done and is doing. We have a couple of tech questions we're going to deal with, and we're all going to deal with that in just a minute. So stay right where you are.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
The one voiceover question no one wants to talk about is, what's your booking rate? And the reason is, no one books as much as they really want. You audition all the time, and your booking rate is never high enough, and you have no clue what to do about it. Well, I've got some great news. On December 4th, VO2GoGo is going to help you change all that. David H. Lawrence the 17th is going to offer a free class starting on 12/4 called the VO Booking Blueprint. He'll share with you 8 ways to increase your booking rate and how to do so instantly. It's always been a big elephant in the room. How much are you booking? How much money are you making? Is it all worth it? How would you like to raise the bar on all of that? Stay tuned. VO2GoGo will have some great training for you on how to up your game with the VO Booking Blueprint. It's all coming December 4th, all from VO2GoGo.com. Everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. So we had a couple of questions. And let's see, what was the first question? I've got a question here from Nate Carlson, Dr. Nate Carlson, of course. Love your show. Rarely get to see it live, but almost always check it out on YouTube on Tuesdays. All right. I use my voiceover studio several days a week, but not every day. I used to work for radio stations that would leave all their equipment powered on 24/7, even in production rooms that weren't being used all the time or overnight. Is there any technical basis for leaving equipment powered on 24/7? Is that related to older tube equipment that required a warm-up time to sound the best? I restart my computer every day and also cycle my router off and on prior to important remote sessions. Should I turn all the gear off, monitor, speakers, interface with phantom power, headphone amps, etc., when I'm not going to use it for hours or days at a time? Thank you. And quit apologizing for geeking out. It's my favorite part of your show. Well, thanks, Nate. I think George is back.
That I am.
All right. Let's get him in there.
Lost internet at this end, so now I'm using a mobile hotspot.
Yes.
Verizon LTE. So go Verizon.
All right. Well.
So you were answering a question. I heard you on the air on the speakers, so I knew you were still on the air.
Yes. Nate Carlson was asking about
a question about turning off gear. Right. Turning off gear.
Right. Do you turn off gear? You know, my philosophy is, yeah, if you feel like it. You know, I usually leave my stuff on and it's been on. I'll reboot my computer. That's something I'll do. I'll always turn my computer off when I go to bed and stuff like that. And but everything else, the board is always on. Everything's usually on in here. And it sounds fine. What's your thoughts on that?
I think rebooting your computer, while none of us probably actually do it, even though we know we're supposed to, is a really, really good idea. So if you don't shut it off at night, at least reboot it in the morning so it's got a fresh startup. It's a really good protocol to have. Yeah. Other than that, the rest of the equipment in your studio depends. If you don't have some of us don't have very complicated studios. So the only thing that needs power is the audio interface, say like a Scarlett 2i2, and it gets its power from the computer. So when you shut the computer off, it turns off. And there's not much else to turn off. But if you've got more equipment like speakers, a mixing console, you know, frankly, I just kind of tend to leave that stuff on. In my personal studio at home, my equipment is on all of the time.
Yeah.
And I know it's not the most economical electricity wise, but I just turning things on and off in the right sequence so you don't pop the speakers and all that, it can be a lot to turn it on and off all the time. So I tend to leave my equipment turned on for the most part.
Yeah. And what about if people worry about power surges and stuff like that? Because sometimes with a lightning strike or something along those lines, if your stuff is on, it could possibly or potentially be damaged.
It's true. I mean, you really should have off or on, your stuff could be damaged. That's the truth of it. So you want to have it at the very, very least a surge suppression power strip, not just the cheesy little one with a little button on the side. It doesn't mean it's surge suppressing. Make sure it actually has surge suppression. But better than that is some sort of a power conditioner that has surge suppression built in and some noise filtering. Or you could get a UPS, an uninterruptible power supply, battery backup, that has something called AVR, which is automatic voltage regulation. And that has filtration and protection in it also. So if you've got a UPS with all of your sensitive equipment plugged into it, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape if you get hit by lightning or something else. It's a good idea to have it.
All right. Excellent answer to that. All right, we got one more question here from Nathan Landman, who says, "Hi, Dan and George. Just wanted to let you know that I just let Source Elements know that I heard about them through your awesome show." Yes.
Yay.
That's what we like to hear.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, their live chat is really helpful for any newbies like me trying to navigate connecting with clients. I'm looking up ISDN bridges and hooking up a mixer for playback on Skype phone patches. Question for the show, after all that intro, if clients ask if I have ISDN, is it honest to say yes if I'm using Source Connect with a bridge, or do I really need ISDN? Thanks a bunch, Nathan.
VISDN.
VISDN, yeah.
Yeah.
Virtual ISDN. Well,
yeah. It's the waters are definitely getting muddied big time now that we have bridging, and we have IPDTO with built-in bridging, which seems kind of like it's you're using ISDN, and now we have VISDN from Source Elements, which is really the closest thing to real ISDN. It's getting pretty hard to find where's the line between having real ISDN and not. And I have to say, if you are using or going to consider getting ISDN, to check out VISDN. For example, one of my clients is moving to La Jolla, California, down near San Diego. AT&T quoted him $550
Yikes.
A month. And VISDN will run about $200 a month. Granted, there's some equipment upfront costs to get that running, but it's going to be a lot less expensive. And there are a number of users, not a whole lot yet, maybe less than 20 users at this point. But it's been proven to be very reliable. So if you have VISDN and you're using an actual ISDN box, a Zephyr or something, then you can say you are using ISDN. I feel that's the delineation there, where you can be honest about it, because it's really not technically a bridge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But, there's a little bit of ethics in there, but most of the time, it seems like most studios now are saying, you don't have to have ISDN. If you got Source Connect or Source Connect Now or Ipdiddle or some of the other ones, heck, it sounds great over Zoom. And as long as your studio's in good shape, they should really trust you to be able to record your stuff at your home studio. So,
well, yeah, there all these studios and networks have different, tolerance levels for issues. And that's why ISDN has hung on for so long, because it's a known quantity, it's maintained by the phone company, and it's generally very reliable. But these new systems are becoming more and more reliable all the time. And I know ABC now is using Source Connect Now.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Cool. Or not, ABC CBS, I know, uses Source Connect, so it's being used by the big boys.
All right, well, that's good.
Actually, I had another question that I saw in the chat room. I got a note here handed to me. The last segment, I was talking about the noise canceling. Someone wants to know what's the price point on those, because I think the audio cut out when I said.
Yeah, how much you spend on those?
They're a little spendy if you're not used to spending money, real money on headphones for $200. But that was $200 at Brookstone. So they're not exactly known for super deals.
No, they're but really not. Yeah. When is there a sale at Brookstone?
Man, they do have clearance stuff sometimes. But I will say that I checked their price against Amazon because that's what I do. I always have my Amazon app. And the Amazon price was like $8 less. So when I saw how close in price it was, I pulled the trigger. So if I end up keeping them, which I may, it's a tax write off.
There you go. Or they're gonna stay at Maxine's. Anyway, JV Martin is coming up, but first we got to tell you that George and I do this for a living. We help you with your home voiceover studios. Nobody knows more about this than the two of us. Why do I say that? Because it's true. Nobody's done more
trenches.
What we've actually dug trenches in some places. But if they want to get a hold of you, George, how do they do that?
You find me over at georgethetech.com. And for the geeks that like shorter domains, it's georgethe.tech. Takes you all to the same place.
All right.
And you can find my services right there. You can book time with me, get virtual engineering racks. Have your studio designed, the whole nine yards.
Yep. And I sort of do the same thing. And you can reach me at the homevoiceoverstudio.com. You can click the contact button there or write to me directly, dan@danleonard.com. Happy to help you out with your home studio. Well, we'll be happy to bring you JV Martin in just a minute here. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Voice Over Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the home studio master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hey, everybody. George Whittem here for Source Elements, one of our wonderful sponsors here at VOBS. You just heard an earful about Source Elements products just a minute ago. I was talking about VISDN, a fantastic tool if you are accustomed to having ISDN in your studio but don't like being gouged by the phone company, you might want to check out VISDN, which is available at source-elements.com, or check out all of their other products like the popular Source Connect Standard, really the staple of many, many studios around the world. And for those that are on a budget or just want to have a simple tool that they can use between studios or their clients, check out Source Connect Now. Now available in a download. So you can get a downloadable standalone version of Source Connect Now, which in my testing has been very reliable. Thanks a lot for your sponsorship. We'll be right back here with JV Martin and Dan.
And we are.
Hey.
All right. Yes. You know, one of my favorite things is, you know, watching the Discovery Channel and nature films and stuff like that. And we got somebody who's with it every week. JV Martin is the voice on Shark Week and has been for 13 years. Let's welcome JV Martin to the show.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Hey, George. Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
Wait. All right.
Sound effects courtesy of my buddy Andrew Heil.
Oh. Outstanding. Well, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Looking forward to having you on for some time.
Yeah.
Shark Week.
Yes.
Let's cover that so we can get that out of the way.
Okay.
What's it like working on that, and is it just 1 week a year?
Or? Yeah. It's I do 1 hour during 1 week a year. actually, a couple of years I did two shows, but it's you know, everybody knows Shark Week.
Yeah.
You know, you say Shark. Well, that's the way you promoted me. It's
right.
The voice of Shark Week, and I have to tell you, I was telling you before, George, you didn't hear this. Some company recently did a promotional thing for Shark Week and handed out these foam fin hats. It says Shark Week coming up, and I had one. I was going to bring it in and put it on, and it's sitting on my printer in my office at home. So anyway, my wife reminded me how stupid I am. But
that's what they're for.
She even has a little code for me. YSS, you're so stupid. Shark Week is a feather in the cap. It absolutely is. I do some commercial work. I've done various things. I love narration. I love telling stories. And honest to God, if I won the Irish sweepstakes tomorrow or the Powerball, I would keep doing narration. I would keep telling stories, especially the things like the nature stories. I love animals. My wife and I are big animal fans, and Shark Week is the pinnacle of nature docs.
Yep. Yeah. And we got a lot of sharks here in Southern California.
Yes, too. We do.
there's been quite a plethora of them out. They're out in Santa Monica or in South Bay or something along those lines. But what a mean looking guy. What do you think the attraction is to Shark Week?
It's interesting because when it first started out, I did my first show in 2003. It was called Anatomy of a Shark Bite.
Mm.
And it was all wrapped around this footage that was captured with an underwater camera, two experts standing talking in waist-high water, and a shark came in and just took a chunk out of one of the guy's legs.
Mm.
Blood, guts. And that's what Shark Week used to be, blood and guts and scary, scary, scary. And this whole show was, they made an animatronic shark showing it crushing things and just destroying. And that was the big attraction. In the last few years, it's become much more about respect, conservation, understanding. You know, when you're out there, you're in their house.
Yep.
You know, it's, and you need to understand that it's not about you. We humans aren't very good at that.
Right. No, you're just in the fridge.
Yeah. You are sushi. So it's become so much. I've gotten to see this thing evolve, and I'm just so proud every year when Discovery Channel, Joy Johnson Williams, lovely lady, calls me up. She says, "We need you again." It's like, I'm there.
Cool. So what is it that, what narration is it that you do for that? And what is it that sets you apart from everybody else? What is the real secret to narrating something like that?
I'll tell you how it started. And I don't know because I don't know if I can answer your question because each year it could be a different read. The very first time with Anatomy of a Shark Bite, I was at the very beginning of my career. And I was working at a production company here in Los Angeles, and I wanted to have as many people hear me as possible. So I was offering to Scratch Track, doing the temporary narration, which is used during editing. For those, most of you know what that is. On any project. And that was got heard by a guy at Travel Channel, David Gerber. And my very first thing was a thing about donut shops across the country. It's like, okay, now I have something. And then they were doing this 2-hour Anatomy of a Shark Bite special. And the boss came up and said, I need you to do the Scratch Tracks. And I said, okay, great. Any chance I'm going to get the show? He said, not a chance. We all have already hired a guy. I said, you going to pay me anything? He said, no. And they gave me the old line. But it'll be good experience and people will hear you. Okay.
Well, someone's going to hear you.
Okay. Well, so I went into the booth, to the edit bay, and I was in a bad mood. Like, the opening line is, those who know, study, and love sharks are certain of one thing. I went, those who know, study, and love sharks are certain of one thing. She loved it. She loved it.
Angry at the shark.
I've got the email still where she says, is there any way we can replace the other guy with JV? And they hired me, and that was Shark Week number one.
Wow.
And, you know, every year. And sometimes it's a more conversational read. Sometimes Pat Fraley has a great way of looking at the various ways of approaching narration. There is the omnipresent, the voice of God, who oversees all and knows all. Then there's the akin to the action. You pretty much know what's going on.
Right.
And then there's the engaged. It's like you're part of it and you're finding out as you go along. Well, there's been a little bit of that through the years. So it's not all... Early on, they'd say, okay, and we need the J.V. Martin shark read. There's no such thing as a J.V. Martin shark read now. There's like five or six of them. And it's always fun to find out which one is it going to be?
Is it right. The aggressive shark, funny shark?
I mean, the last few I've done are all about alien sharks, strange
alien
creatures
sharks.
From the bottom of the sea.
Oh, the weird looking ones.
The weird ones that light up and oh my, and their jaws do bizarre things. And it's fun. That's the thing. And if you enjoy doing that stuff, you're learning. You know, it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
Yeah. I love nature documentaries.
Yeah.
Especially the ocean stuff is just fascinating
yeah.
because it's still a somewhat unexplored world. I mean, there's things that are still discovering.
It is the last frontier on the planet. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there are some great narrators who do
yes.
all sorts of different types of stuff.
Yeah.
People come to mind. Mike Rowe, who does a lot of stuff, you know, for Discovery, and,
yep.
and you hear him at all sorts.
Everybody
of
knows Mike Rowe.
Or one of my personal favorites, Will Lyman.
Yes,
for PBS, been the voice on Frontline since before Frontline was there. I think
before television started.
Yeah, and don't tell him that. What is it that sets somebody apart? Peter Coyote and the way he narrated Vietnam. What do you think what is it that they bring to the table that works so well?
I think it's the engagement. Two of my favorite narrators are Tom Pinto and Kay Bess.
Mm-hmm. Two people we've had on this show.
Yes, you have. And you know what? I can get lost in their delivery. My whole thing is being prepared. If I don't know the story, I can't tell the story. So I will spend a tremendous amount of time prepping. So I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
That way I don't have to think about, here comes that word, or, oh, geez, oh, you know, I know the story and I can just get lost in it and tell it. And I think that's what it is. I think it's storytelling. You know, it's not the voice. Yeah, there are certain things. If you're going to be a narrator, you can't sound like Gilbert Gottfried.
Right.
You know.
Here comes the shark!
Oh, my God, look, he bit him in the ass! You know? But it used to be a warmth was necessary.
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore. I mean, you listen to narration for things like HGTV,
yeah.
and it's
pretty bland.
Yeah, and it's... But when it comes to the good stuff, the meaty stuff, it's the engagement and it's the I believe these people know exactly what they're talking about and they draw me in. And considering I've done this for so long, when I find myself being drawn in by Tom or by Kay, it's like, oh wow, damn. It's like I got to go away for a moment and just let them take me by the hand and guide me through this story. Not being noticed. That is a narrator's biggest job is to not be noticed. Once, if you notice me, I screwed up.
Hmm. Interesting to note. So when you get a script, I mean, I do a fair amount of documentary stuff and it's like, we need this tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do it as a cold read. I mean,
Never.
You can read through it a few times,
Never.
but you spend you said, I think you told me 8 hours on a, well, but you're talking about an hour long read.
An hour long show.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, I'm pretty insistent on that. And I will get, I need, the, I ask for the script in a Word document, not PDF. And I want a cut of the show. I don't care if it's the screen's this big, you know, it doesn't have to be the final cut. What I'm listening for is the sound bites, the attitude of the sound bites. Some narrators won't even want the sound bites on their script. But if you're playing off somebody's comment,
right.
And then the music is so important. If there's a shark show and the line is the shark headed toward the beach at an incredible speed, and it's the music is doing this, mm-hmm. or if it's going do, 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 yeah. Well, that's going to affect your read.
Right.
So I go through that. I watch it. I just first watch it as a viewer. And then I'll make notes to myself if I don't get something.
Will it have a scratch track on it? Or
yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I make notes to myself. I don't get what that means. And I'll look it up, or I'll contact the producer and say, what is that? Then I'll go through it and I'll make notes. I reformat the script. I take all the sound bites. All my stuff is in 11-point aerial black. All the sound bites are in 7-point aerial narrow light gray. So they're there.
Right.
But they're not distracting me. And, you know, it doesn't bother the producers because we're on the time codes, you know, not page numbers anyway. And I'll go through and I'll make notes to myself and go through again, then watch it again. And then the morning of, I'll watch it one more time. And so, and then I mark things if there's a difficult word, a foreign word or a scientific word, I mark it in yellow highlighter. We're going to a transition. That's a little blue star. Music, notes in blue. Green, if I have a question. Red means heading toward the break. All these different things. I can look at any spot anywhere in that script and know exactly where I am. So I can just concentrate on my performance.
How long does it usually take you to record that when you go in? Now, are you recording this at home in your home studio?
Much more so now.
Yeah.
Much more so. You know, I miss the days of going to like Tree Falls and having lunch catered and, you know, and not having to run the machine and not having to upload the files.
Right.
What was the question again?
Well, are you doing this? How long does it take to record, you know, if you're doing it by yourself or if you're in the studio?
No, I am being directed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, an hour show, 45 minutes to an hour, especially if it's something for 5 years, I've done an investigation discovery series called Ice Cold Killers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after 5 years, or I did 5 years of mega disasters on History Channel, by then, you know it. And it's being basically written for you at that point.
Right.
So that can get done in no time at all.
Right.
But I did a fabulous, wonderful show. Oh, my God, I loved it so much. I love them all. Love them all. For NHNZ, Natural History New Zealand, which was on Animal Planet, called, Sarah, what was it called? something about man-eaters. Oh, my gosh. And it was 2 hours, mostly me. And that's going to take longer because, you know, these are things that one is new to you. But. Yeah, it was wonderful because Sarah and I, our favorite charity is Wildlife SOS in India. They save elephants and bears and rhinos. And I'm going through this script for this show, Maneater Show, and all of a sudden they're talking about Wildlife SOS. It's like, oh my God, this is like my favorite people. And what I want to do is they do a charity thing and ask you to donate things so they can auction them off. What I'm hoping is I can get a couple of copies of the show in the nice packaging, just to autograph them, and maybe they can, you know, make a few bucks off of it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, as you were saying, it's about preparation. You take a lot of time to really analyze the script. And so when you go into the booth,
yeah,
you've already read it.
I know this
15,
thing.
20 times.
I know this thing.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and you know, that also comes with words and such.
Right.
You know, a lot of things I've done with foreign words. Well, I take time to learn them. So when I say it, it sounds like I say it every damn day of the week.
Right.
Not like, you know, right. And that way I don't, when I see that coming up in the script, I don't start to panic.
Right.
Yeah.
Try Eastern European Yiddish names. That's it's one I end up doing an awful lot of.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I did one about the you know the Chinese Revolution. It's
like, okay.
Yeah, and didn't get enough prep time on that one.
People notice that. If you're just joining us, well, you've missed so much already. But we're talking with
JV. Where you been?
I know. We're with JV Martin, the voice of Shark Week, and all sorts of other cool stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other stuff. Now, you started off not doing voiceover, but no. In radio and television production, right?
Right. My father was he was a DJ back in the Midwest, and then came out to, I have a great photograph of him from the 1950s. Black and white photo. Somebody took this tiny little thing, and he's sitting with the slick back hair and the T-shirt and the cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve. Oh, my God, it's so great. And he came out here. He became a newscaster, and then the last thing he did was a he had his own topical talk show. We lost him back in 75. But he hired me out of his own pocket for 50 cents an hour.
Ooh.
Yeah. KGIL in the Valley. And on Saturdays, I would come in and I would write sports copy for it and take care of the things. And I did apparently a good enough job that when it came time that I was legal to work, because I started at age 15, at age 16, the station said, we're going to hire you. So I got put on the payroll. I think it was 54 cents an hour then.
Ooh.
Thank you, Jack. Then I started working at Channel 2 News as a production assistant. I was getting up to have the 5 a.m. KGIL first newscast ready. Then I would go to school, L.A. City College, taking radio, TV, film, and ending up having to be a teacher's aide because I knew more than most people.
Usually that happens a lot.
Then I would go to Channel 2 News and work through the 11 o'clock newscast, and I did that 5 days a week.
Wow.
Couldn't do it now, I'll tell you that much.
You probably had a problem doing it then. Well, when you're young and...
Young and stupid, but, you know, you want to come home and do other stupid things.
Right.
Yeah.
That probably prevented you from doing a lot of stupid things.
Yes. So that, and then I was in news for the longest time, up until like 1987, and became, was the youngest live news director in Los Angeles at one point with Channel 11, then got hired by Channel 5, then Channel 11 hired me back. And then I went off and did shopping television.
Like QVC sort of
like
stuff?
Like that. It was the JCPenney television shopping channel.
Oh, I remember that.
Which, the money was good. And that's where I met the woman who's now my wife. So, you know, there's the golden, silver lining, as they say. And then I started wanting to get back into real television. And I contacted a friend of mine, and he had an in at E! Entertainment Television. So I got over there. And I ended up directing things like Talk Soup with Greg Kinnear and various other things, and had a great time with that. Transitioned somehow into documentaries as a PA, back down the ladder. Became a production producer, writer, producer, director, and then eventually it worked its way toward voiceover. I was working on a show. Do you remember the old Leonard Nimoy series, In Search Of?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, they redid that one back in 2001 or so. And it's funny because the executive on the series was Mike Darnell. Mm-hmm. Big shot from Fox, now Warner. And he was on the phone, you know, having some moments with the production crew. And I walked in, and Mike's his number two guy, Tom Sheets. We all three worked at Channel 11. Tom was an AD for me. Mike was a production assistant. I walked in and I knew Tom was on the line, and somebody said, JV Martin, one of our producers just walked in. Tom Sheets is here from Fox on the line. I said, what do you want? Why don't you get back to work? And he goes, your mama. Or something like that. Right. Everybody in the room, just the color drained from their faces. Yeah. Then he and I started laughing.
Right.
And so all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, he knows these people. And then a friend of mine who was producing this one episode, directing, she said, I have to go to the dentist. She goes, but I have to lay down the scratch check. Will you do it for me? I said, well, yeah, but I've been on mic and radio, so I'm going to do it the way I think it should be done.
Hmm.
I did it.
Yeah.
They sent it to Fox and USA Television. And some other Fox exec sent it back to him and said, you're not sending this to final narration without our say-so, are you? I went, oh, really? So from then on, they had me scratch everything.
Right.
I went to another company. I was scratching everything. And that's what led to the Donut Show, and which then led to Shark Week.
Shark Week. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Well, if you got a question for J.V. Martin about fascinating stuff here, about doing narration, which is one of those really specialized things in voiceover.
Yeah, so much fun.
Yeah, throw it in the chat room. Jack Daniel will get that to us, and we'll continue to talk to JV right after this break. So stay right where you are. Don't go away. We'll be right back on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 a.m. coughs,
an all-new American Crime Story tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics, and now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze from $16,995.
Be inspired, then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
Hey, why wait? Get Black Friday prices now. No need to wait. Avoid the rush and save up to $100 on some of our best-loved products over at voiceoveressentials.com. Now, this includes our world-renowned porta-booths, which are on sale only once a year. You can buy them all year, but they're on sale for great prices just this time of year. Here's what you do. Just enter this code, BLKF, Black Friday, 2017, BLKF. 2017 in the promo code field in your shopping cart and click the submit promo code button. And you'll find all sorts of great deals at voiceoveressentials.com. Harlan Hogan has assembled the greatest array of voiceover products out there, like the porta booths and the especially the voiceover sign, which will save your marriage because people will know you're busy, you're recording. Or the VO1A microphone, or the Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones. George has those too amongst his huge collection. But if you want to get the best stuff at the best price, now is the time to do it. Over at voiceoveressentials.com. All you got to do to get there, you don't even have to type it in. All you got to do is go to the bottom of the page that you're watching this very show on right now and click on the icon of the one and only Harlan Hogan talking into his Porta Booth Pro. It'll take you right there and let the man himself know that you heard it on VOBS. And you guys must love it because he keeps sponsoring us every day. We're on the air. Over almost 300 episodes. Harlan, thanks a lot. And we'll be right back. Go to a two, Sean. All right, and we are back. Oh, live TV. There's nothing like it. George, you there somewhere?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, have we been getting some questions from our audience? Before we get to some of those, you had a story about Charles Manson, who fortunately is now where he belongs.
Right.
Not that he didn't belong where he was in the first place.
Yeah. Although I think he's the devil's probably going, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. Yeah.
He's not in the good place.
Right. Back in 2003, when I was still producing and just starting to dabble into the voiceover, we were approached to, at the same production company where I first started Shark Week, we were approached to start putting together a documentary on Manson. There is belief that there are other victims buried out in, I believe it was Death Valley.
I think they were hanging out in Death Valley.
I think so. And so we were starting to put some things together. We were going to get a special aircraft with special cameras that could maybe detect. I was amazed. I said, now, wait a minute. These are bodies that long ago. And they said, well, the decomposition will create enough heat to still have us see something. It's like, all right, great. That's so cool. And so I needed to talk to Charlie and as many of the members of the family as possible. Chuck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so I wrote him a letter, and he wrote back. And I wrote him a letter, another letter, and he wrote back. And I brought a page from one of the letters. It is so disturbing to read him. The ramblings are just, you want to scratch and then go take a shower.
Yeah.
And we wanted so much to interview him. I mean, what a get that would have been. Unfortunately, at Cochrane Prison where he was, the policy was if you want to interview a prisoner, you make a request. I want to interview a prisoner. You can't choose the prisoner.
They just pick somebody at random.
They pick somebody. So yeah. I'm going to do a Charles Manson documentary, and they're going to send me a guy who robbed a liquor store. So that sort of sunk the whole plan.
Yeah.
I think that was the big kibosh. I also wrote to Susan Atkins, who became Susan Atkins Whitehouse, who was like the head devil at the Tate LaBianca murders. And she wanted nothing to do with it. She very nicely typed out a letter and signed it saying, I will not participate in anything having to do with Charles Manson.
Yeah. Guy only destroyed her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. I also have a letter from James Earl Ray, the guy who killed Martin Luther King. Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah. You hold those things and you kind of go, ha, ha.
Yeah. But take them on Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Especially
this on the open market might get. George, do we have some questions from our vast audience?
Yes.
Hey, George.
We do. Hey, JV.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. I need you to come out to fix something with my office talking to my studio.
I'll be back soon. We have a question about your studio coming up here, actually.
Oh, okay. I think you guys are prepped for that.
What you're using in the studio. But this one's from Jack Daniel. Right there in the studio.
Wait a minute.
Ironic that I'm asking familiar. It way over here. You talk about wanting to receive a cut of the show you're narrating, even if it's rough.
Yes.
But many scripts these days are read wild. In these cases, what is your process for preparing for and delivering a read?
I have done one wild script read in my whole career, and that was more than 10 years ago. Nobody ever says the session begins in 5 minutes. You'll have the script in 3. That just doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, that's good. That means
yeah, and I don't know if it's because I'm lucky. I don't know if it's because my wonderful agents at Atlas take good care of me, which they do. I don't know if it's because I'm so fabulously bitchin', how would they tell me no? I don't know. I don't run into that. And I thank God because, I mean, picture yourself going on stage or going on camera, glancing at the thing saying, okay, I got it. No. This is a performance. We are actors because, you know, a narrator is an actor. I don't know everything about this subject I'm talking about. But if I did my job right and I prepared properly, you do think I know what the hell I'm talking about. So to cold read, it's after having been a producer, writer, producer, director, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into a year and a half, a year nowadays, closer to 45 minutes, to prepare for, traveling overseas, cuts, everything, it's an honor for me. For them to turn that over to me and say, here it is, tell our story that we've worked our butts off on. Why wouldn't you want your guy to be as ready as possible? I don't understand people who do it any other way. And thankfully,
they're not, and you are.
Yeah.
I think that says it all yeah. right there.
Yeah, hopefully there's a level of, you know, respect you've garnered with those folks that they understand that you're professional and professionals need to have preparation.
Well, I tell you what, these producers and directors, I let them know, you know, I was one of them. I hate the term talent because the guy on camera has talent. The woman editing has talent. Everybody has talent. So why am I called the talent? I consider myself part of the crew, and all together we bring together hopefully a terrific program, and we all deserve the pat on the back or the kick in the ass. You know, it's I'm not this talent thing is crap. Yeah, I don't believe it.
But if they say crew, then the cable puller is going to come on and do this spot. So it's.
That's true. All right, fine. I'll be in my trailer.
This one's from Catherine Curran, our producer.
Oh, Catherine, why weren't you here?
She's in San Diego. It's a long run.
All right.
How much prep time do you have regularly when you get a script, which obviously dovetails with what we're talking about, in terms of how much advanced time you do usually have to work with that script before you get to read it?
You may run into this as well. It seems for the domestic production companies, it's a much shorter time. If I'm doing something for Natural History New Zealand, or oh my gosh, I forgot it. There's a wonderful company in South Africa, or BBC. You know, I might have 4 weeks.
Oh, that helps.
Yeah. That way, and the beauty of that is, as with producing, you get it all ready and you walk away from it, and then you come back, and it's like, oh, I didn't see this before. Let me make this little adjustment. You know, whereas all the wonderful production companies here in the U.S., love you all, 2 days, 3 days, you know?
Yep.
A day, maybe.
Yeah. Sometimes less than that.
But I at least get a day.
Correction?
What's that
again? Sorry, do you get last-minute script corrections often?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That, you know, and they'll say to me, you know, we have some changes. Do you want them? I said, you know, let's do them on the fly. And I also, and this more so with the programs that people I've worked with or a series I've been on for a while, I will sometimes make suggestions. My mother is a English fanatic.
My mom too.
Oh, grammar yeah. police. So I grew up in that. If you're in a conversational read, you know, a casual read, fine. But if it's a very intelligent presentation, you want to sound intelligent. So I will read the line as written, and then I'll just say, and let me offer you an alternate, and I will read something the way that I think maybe is going to work better. And all with the approach that it's just to make everything better. I'm not looking to stand out. I want it to be the best show possible. And the majority of the time, I shall say, when I watch the show, my version is there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Bill Russell, a very talented guy. Russell.
Great baseball player, too.
Yeah, basketball.
Well, also Bill Russell of the Dodgers, second baseman.
He needs to change his name to something that doesn't.
Yeah, hell of a center, too, yeah.
Yeah. He asked, what was the silliest, stupidest paid gig you've ever done? Sounds like a question he would ask.
Oh, man. Do I want to take a chance saying this?
Yes.
Go for it.
I honestly can't think of, I can think of ones that it's like, I did it for the money. You know, there's a jewelry channel thing, and they were very nice. It was great. But there's nothing I've ever done that I'm embarrassed about, or that I, you know, was the experience was just like, what were you thinking?
No diarrhea or hemorrhoid commercials.
Nothing like that. Yeah. No. You know, there's some that I worked my butt off and made $1.47. And there's another one where it was not narration. It was a tagline for syndication. I spoke a partial sentence, and so far I'm at six figures on the payment on that.
Wow.
but nothing where it's like, dear God, please take my name off that. If I'm going to take my name off anything, it's and my name was never on it because we never had credits. It's like shop television. You know, it's not really that. That didn't go on my production resume for very long.
George.
Steve Tekon says, curious if JV can elaborate on the tools he has in his home VO studio. You mentioned the mic. Maybe it was before the show, but would you talk about the mic and what you plug it into?
You know more about this than I do. I am the least techie person in the world. It's like George came in, fixed it, and it all works. And it all works for NBC. It all works for Discovery. It all works for BBC. It all works for everybody. And it's the mic is it's the first generation Studio Concept C1. Fabulous mic.
Yeah. Studio Project.
Studio Project. That's a great microphone.
It's a great mic. A buddy of mine from high school who became the fabulous animation voice Corey Burton. He introduced me to that mic. And I love that thing. I absolutely love that mic. I have one on standby.
Corey knows a thing or two.
Yeah. Corey goes to, he shows up things and depends on what the thing is. And well, he now probably works from home mostly, but six different mics depending on what the sound you want. Oh my gosh. Yeah. He would, just quick sidebar. He, at Granada Hills High School, mm-hmm. he and his brother, his buddy, John, who still works with Corey, did the morning announcements. And, you know, the morning announcements in school, they had the funniest bits. Everything would stop when Corey's morning announcements would come on. People would laugh out loud. And then when they were over, it's like, oh, back to school. And, you know, and he turned out to be Corey Burton. He's the one who introduced me to that mic. And it's just, Mike Klinger over at Tree Falls, he said, you know, with a voice, these are his words, not mine, a voice like mine cuts through so much. So it's like, you know, a mic like that's just going to be fine. And nobody has ever said to me, geez, what mic are you on? Do you have an alternate for me?
I don't think that any engineer is going to tell you that. You know, do you have a different mic?
Unless producers really ask, because they think it's the question to ask.
Right. And it's you can tell them that it's $10,000 telephone.
Yeah, it's a Sennheiser 416. Right? You know, there you go. What do you think?
Right.
Yeah.
They don't have to see how the sausage is made.
That's right. But yeah, it is a lovely mic. It's just beautiful. I love that thing.
And then you have that mic feeding into, if memory serves, because I've worked on a couple of studios. Mac 820i. Is that what it is?
Now what? What are you doing?
What button did you press? I'm trying to troubleshoot it right now.
Want to fly like an eagle?
Did I fix it?
You did.
But I don't see you.
Okay. Well, I know what happened.
It is a Mackie though.
I know what happened. I just don't know why it happened.
Well, that's the par for the course tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I lost my secondary monitor is actually what happened in the studio, which is where the Zoom feed is. So that's why you lost everything there,
That'll
Andrew.
Teach you to leave home base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always fun when George is away.
While I vamp. But yeah, it's a Mackie. I think it's an 820i.
It is a Mackie. That is correct.
Yeah,
because I always I look at that and I think Mac the knife. Why? You know, that's Oh, the shark! Oh my God, the shark! That's it. And then you know you were so smart. I've got the 6x8 foot vocal booth. George was smart enough to take that Mac Mini, put it on the outside, so it's always nice and cool. I've got the LED lights in there. It's like they can all stay on all day long, but I do turn mine off every night, and it's always comfortable in there.
Cool.
Yeah, we have the Mac. If the Mac Mini is strapped to the side of the booth, it's hanging on the side of the booth, clinging there on some zip ties.
Yeah, it is.
Are you using? It's been a while. I don't remember. Are you using any processing? Do you do a twisted wave stack or anything like that?
Well, you set one up for me, and for whatever reason, the agency didn't like it, so I haven't been using it. Other than that, it's just just me.
Clean and raw, way it should be.
Clean and raw. Yeah. You have a good mic, good booth, quiet, you know, and you're actually getting to work with productions with actual recording engineers.
Yeah.
You're golden.
Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Devox asks, you talked about color coding, marking your scripts. Can you go into a little more depth on marking scripts? Because that's an important thing for people to really understand.
Okay. Pardon me. I'm going
to. You just happened to have some with you.
I did, just in case. Where do I, Andrew, you want me to play it to this mic?
This camera right here.
This one right here. Okay, leaning in. See all these colors?
Yeah, you can sort of see it.
Yellow.
Blues.
Yellow red. Tells me it's a word that's foreign or something. Difficult. The top of the act or leading out is always in red. If I have notes for the producer, it's in green. Blue tells me it's a transition, like to a new story, or in this case, it'll say it's we got a recap and opening with very tense music. Since I'm not listening to this, in the old days, we'd go in and you'd listen, you'd read the picture, you'd walk in, they'd play the rough cut, it's in your ears, you would pause it until you started talking, and you're hearing the sound bites, which was a much easier way to stay engaged in the show. Now it's the only thing I hear is me. So I need to be able to fill in my head what's going on. And those notes to myself, it was so cute. I did cute. I shouldn't say cute. With adorable.
Okay.
Adorable. Just cuddly. I did a workshop and, I was talking about my color coding and I said, yellow for the words and, green for this and this. And this woman goes, hold on. Yellow for the tough words? It's like, honey,
color you want.
I didn't say honey. I did not say honey. It's whatever works for you. You know, purple means an alternate read to me. And that's what works for me. And then certain pencil marks, you know. If I do like a little wavy under there, it's an action. You know, and it makes sense to me.
It does.
And you know darn well how important marking is. You mark the hell out of yours, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when I have time.
Yeah.
It's like, we need this yesterday.
Yeah. Right. You're already late.
Yeah. But, you know, if you do stuff for people all the time and they write stuff for you.
Exactly.
They know, you know, you know what's going to happen. They're thinking like you are.
Yeah.
And that's always a great thing.
You can almost anticipate what's going to come because they're simpatico.
Si. One last question from Maxine Dunn. You want to give that one out,
Maxine
George?
Maxine Dunn, the famous Maxine Dunn.
Yes, no problem. Thank you for this fantastic interview, Maxine asks. Kind of off the subject, but do you like to read actual books, I'm sure, or do you read books on a digital device? Are you a techno device guy, or do you like to read
old school
media? I don't. You know what? I don't read. Now, is Maxine referring to novels or any kind of tome?
Any.
Do you
Maxine?
To read?
I am not a novel reader. I am an information sponge. I get on the computer and I'm going to website, find it, the news. I gotta know. And so nonfiction is my world. And almost everything I read is off a computer. But I have listened to one audiobook, which is, again, not a novel. It was about one of our current politicians pretty high up on the chain currently. And it was fascinating. But the unfortunate thing is I listened to it while driving.
Yeah.
I started to get very angry.
Yeah, that's not
And I
good.
Was on my way to play golf. So I got to the golf course and I was hitting the crap out of the ball. But in general, I the computer. I the amount of bookmarks I have on Safari and Chrome is just, it's stupid.
Yeah. Well, JV, thank you so much
for
being with us tonight.
A pleasure.
This was great. And it's always good to hear more about narration and some of the details to how to do it better. And we really appreciate you coming down.
I love being here. It's nice to finally meet you.
Nice to meet
you. And, of course, George found a way to avoid me, but that's fine.
Not even.
All righty. JV Martin, voice on Shark Week and all sorts of other stuff. All right, we'll be right back to wrap things up right after this.
Your dynamic voiceover requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
Hey, you working pros, are you ready for a pro workout that really makes you bring it? Do you want to connect with some of the highest caliber decision makers in all the voiceover genres? Do you always wonder what happens after you send in that killer audition? Let's talk about the VO Dojo Pro Fight Club. This pull no punches workout brings top-notch working pros from all over together for a friendly face-off in front of top decision makers in commercials, animation, narration, promo, and video games. It's designed to turn the audition process transparent and open up every step of the process from being heard to being hired. It's time to get out of your closet and get connected with each other and the people who can hire us. The VO Dojo offers two Pro Fight Clubs a month, one live in LA and one virtual from wherever you are. Coming up next, Fight Club is virtual with superstar New York casting director Lisa Fishoff from Broadcasters. Then join animation producer Rita Street, founder of Women in Animation, which I just joined, who will be exploring Adult Swim style scripts and who also specialize in the Spanish speaking market. Players must have a demo, be repped and booking. Everyone is welcome to audit Virtual Fight Club. Visit the website to learn more and grab your spot, www.thevodojo.com. And we're back. Oh, nice transition there, Andrew. We're going to miss you. Anyway, boy, oh boy, that was fascinating with J.V. Martin and all the cool stuff about narration, which is really, you know, my forte as well and the stuff that I do a lot of. So it's always good to see you hear another perspective on how you get that stuff done. George, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
I agree.
You can say something.
I was really glad to have him on.
All righty. Let's see here. Next week on the show, who's on the show next week?
Couldn't tell you.
We can't tell. We're waiting to hear. Jack Daniels is going to be our guest next week. Flexible. But he is every week.
We're taking submissions, folks.
Yes, if you want to be on the show, write to theguys@vobs.tv.
I know there's a humongous number of feelers out there for guests right now. I saw a massive list from Catherine. I think it's just that time of year where people are at a fever pitch with work and having a hard time getting away from work to come on. But rest assured, we will definitely have a guest for next week's show. It may even possibly be a roundtable.
Oh,
but we'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted all week long. Who are our donors of the week?
Some of the donors we've gotten in this last week are from Shelly Avellino Voiceovers. Thanks, Shelly. Those of you who might remember, Shelly used to be one of the helpers with the chat room before she just, you know, got too busy as a voice actor.
She's a busy lady.
Thomas Pinto. Hey.
Tom Pinto. who is a regular watcher of this show.
Yeah, Sarah Borges. Thank you. Christy Burns. Thank you, Christy. Eric Aragoni never misses an episode.
Week after week.
Thank you, sir. Trey Mosley, another one of our monthly regular subscribers. Ant Land Productions. We all know Uncle Roy. Donating to the show. Thanks, man. Philip Sapir, another monthly subscribing donor. And what else came in the last week? Let's keep looking and scrolling. Jack DeGolia, he donates to the show and he works for the show. Jack, I don't even know what to say. Thank you. Andrew Kaufman. And I think the last one that came in since last, that's it. That wraps up the list for donations in the last week. Thank you, everybody, for that little bit extra help that we get from you. It's so appreciated.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. But we were just talking about Jack DeGolia. Does the show logs, everything, all the details are there when we post the video on YouTube tomorrow. And if there's a certain subject you wanted to, really look at it and hear again or see again, just check the time code on the show notes on the show log, and helps you out. We really appreciate Jack doing that for us. Let's see. You got a Black Friday deal going on yourself?
Well, hey. You know, it's that time of year. We got to do some deals. So I know what I'm going to do. I just haven't figured out how to yet because I've changed my shopping cart system. But do stay tuned. The best way to know what I'm going to do for a Black Friday deal, Cyber Monday, that whole shebang. The best way to know what's going to happen is to be following me on Twitter because I will definitely announce it on Twitter at @GeorgeTheTech. And if you're a Facebook friend of me on George, at my George Tech Widom Facebook page, you'll also find out about it. But just stay tuned. I promise there'll be something worth your while.
All right. If you want to be in our studio, all you got to do is write to us, theguys@vobs.tv. We're also going to be having a New Year's Day late afternoon party here to celebrate our 300th episode. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And you can hear the show as a podcast for those of you who don't, like to watch TV or whatever, or you're driving along. VOBS is available as a podcast on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, or anywhere fine podcasts are sold or totally given away. Take the survey. Let us know who you'd like to see on the show. And what else? We need to thank our sponsors before my computer goes dead. It's down to 3%. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
I know there's a place to plug that in somewhere, man. VO Extra.
Source Elements.
VO to GoGo and Rehearsal App.
The VO Dojo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos. Thanks, guys, for all that stuff. Need to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage. Catherine Curran for getting us great guests like J.V. Martin.
Very she works cool. so hard for this show.
Yeah.
It doesn't take any for it, folks. She's an amazing help to our show. Thank you, Catherine.
We appreciate it. Jack Daniel for being our social media manager and getting all those questions to us. Our amazing Florida producer who we're going to lose after next week because he's going full time with James Corden, Andrew Bushwitz. Thank you, Andrew. You're amazing, especially tonight. And, of course, Jack DeGolia for the show notes and Lee Penny simply for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us this week, and we appreciate you coming every week. We'll be on next week with something. Following week, I'm in Hawaii. We're not doing a show. Maybe I could do it from Hawaii, but it's not going to happen. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks for watching. Any suggestions you have for us, always welcome. I'm Dan Leonard.
Yep. I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night.